Hey folks, doing another From the Field. I'm Joe Jurisic. I have on with me Hillary Metzger from Home Nursery. Hillary, how you doing?
Good morning, Joe. I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. It's Friday. We're going into fall. I think everyone's looking forward to this time of the year. I know we were just talking a little bit, you know, winter can be scary, but also a little bit welcoming at the same time.
Yes. Yeah, we're definitely looking forward to some cooler weather. That's for sure. So especially downstate, we can have some more humid, hot days even in September. So we're ready for that for sure.
I think everyone needs the mental reset. So, well, awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk with us today. It's great. Home Nursery, I believe, has been on since kind of Landscape Help started, I think, in the 2018 realm. And we've, you know, got you exposure into some new people, have some existing folks, and you guys have been awesome to have on. So thank you for your partnership.
Yeah, thanks for inviting us. And we're excited to kind of get out there and maybe expose ourselves to some people that aren't totally familiar with us. So
awesome. Well, this is the perfect platform for them to get to know you and Home Nursery. So I'll go ahead and step back and let you kind of give the history on Home Nursery.
Yeah, so we just celebrated our 100-year anniversary in 2021. So that was a pretty big milestone for us. So we started out kind of in the retail business, and it is third generation. So it dates back quite a while, obviously 100 years, but, so started out in the retail business, had several different stores. Sometime in the 80s, we made the transition to where we decided we wanted to be wholesale only, which is how we ended up in Albers, Illinois. So we're just 35 miles east of St. Louis, which is where our main farm is located now. And we've got about 380 acres there, which in production, there's about 260. So that's where we're producing majority of our evergreen and larger sizes. And then in 2019, we did purchase a farm down in Tennessee, McMinnville, Tennessee, which a lot of you are probably familiar with the area. And there's 150 acres there. And last year we acquired another facility. It's a greenhouse range. So that's kind of both facilities. And our goal for that right now is it's a production growing facility. So we grow majority of our deciduous down there, and then we're shipping it back up to Illinois and send it out to all of you guys. So that's kind of the brief rundown about what we do, how we do it, and where at.
Nice. Yeah. When I was down in McMinnville earlier this year, I drove by and I didn't know that you guys had the Tennessee facility. I think maybe a little bit under wraps, but also, you know, kind of, you know, just coming about. And I'm like, whoa, there's Home Nursery. So that's awesome. It's great to see you guys expanding. And also too, on your 100 years, I did one with Kankakee, which that means I'm a little bit farther northeast from you, but they're coming up close on it. Yes, and then Christian is in the 60s, but a couple other folks are starting to get up there. So that's awesome to see, you know, the legacy continue on.
Yes, it is for sure. And Anne, our current owner, she has her children involved. So the fourth generation is, you know, they're in place. So that's always a good sign when you see the family, you know, being able to keep it family owned is hugely important, I think, in this industry. So.
Oh yeah. Well, and it also then, you know, lends and brings in younger talent. I've got a fellow Illini on the
I and I.
So all those folks out there. I mean, the Ohio State people, I'm gonna get a couple boos from them here soon. Yeah. Well, and then don't get me started on Michigan, but we'll just
just leave that one alone.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, I think I have a couple of shirts with some Michigan stuff, but that was back in the old Illini days, so not the new
Illini. Right.
Awesome. The folks that you service, garden centers all the way to landscapers, correct? And everyone in between?
Yes. Yep. So we're focusing on independent garden centers, landscapers, and re-wholesalers. We've not, you know, and our plan is not to get into box stores anytime soon. And then as far as where we service 14 states, mainly all in the Midwest. So as far north as Wisconsin, east is Ohio, south is now we're shipping a little bit into like the northern tip of Georgia, kind of like Chattanooga, Tennessee area. And then over to like Oklahoma. So, and I guess Iowa. But yeah, kind of that nice range. And then I think you know, our long-term plan is to be able to ship out of Tennessee. So that'll open up some opportunities when we're direct shipping out of there as well.
Yeah. I mean, from there, you could go east if even if you wanted to. So, I mean,
that, right. Like, yeah, North Carolina. I mean, you're not that far from like Asheville and things like that. So,
very pretty area, a lot of landscaping going on. So, that's
yes, good. A lot of good breweries from what I hear. So,
oh, yes. Oh,
it's nice, always... nice destination.
Plants and beer. Can't get
any. Yes. Right.
Well, fantastic. Something that we like to talk about here on Landscape Hub is some of the challenges. And since you guys are more on, you know, the container side, some things that have popped up, you know, another podcast, supply chain issues, you know, labor. What are you guys seeing? How are you tackling those challenges?
Yeah, so this is our second year using H2A as far as labor challenges. So that's been a huge saver for us. We use those both in our Illinois facility and Tennessee facility as well. So, I mean, without those guys, we wouldn't be able to do what we do as far as trimming, spacing, fertilizing. They do everything besides work on our dock for us. So that's really great. And we have utilized maybe some like high school students in the summer. That's another great way, but we're also in a very rural community. So we're not able to, you know, maybe pull, I don't know, people from like a larger city like Chicago as well, just because we are kind of out in the middle of nowhere. So.
Yeah, that makes it a little bit more difficult. You guys, that since, you know, you having your Hort degree from U of I, you know, you and I think probably both did internships. Is that something that you guys offer at home? You know, if anyone's out there.
We do. Cool. Yes. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. We do have an awesome summer internship program. And actually, Zach Perkins, which his parents own Winding Creek Nursery, yep. In Millbrook. So he interned with us, 2 summers ago, and then we actually hired him on. So he's a great, candidate, you know, that he started out in our internship program and then is now working for us full time. So yeah, if there's anybody listening to this that knows of someone or, you know, might be interested yourself, definitely reach out to us and let us know. We provide housing and all that. So, yeah, it's a pretty awesome program.
Well, it's great to get that experience. I mean, you know, us coming from, you know, colleges and getting our feet wet and, you know, doing those, it really, I think, kind of helps you grow into what you want to do, where you want to focus. And it leads to, you know, said full-time opportunity. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, and it kind of allows you to figure out what you really like and what you don't like. You know, we kind of let you go through all facets of our business from, you know, having to trim a whole house of taxes to maybe pushing the carts on the semi to, you know, sales. You're making sales calls and, you know, out with the reps and stuff like that. So it's an eye-opening experience, I think, for sure.
Wow, definitely worth it. And then even, you know, depending on whatever educational institution you go to, they also count them as credits. So,
which is for sure.
Shout out to Winding Creek. They are literally, I think, maybe 5 miles down the road from my house. So
nice. Yes. Good. Yes, we love them. They're an awesome customer for sure. So
great material, great little location, serving that whole little kind of rural-esque.
Yeah, for sure.
Market.
Destination for sure.
Oh, it is. And yeah, awesome. They've got, you know, everything there. So shout out to Winding Creek. One thing I want to talk about is your logistics network. I know you said you touch all the states around. You guys are using your own trucks and then racks and everything. You want to explain? Because I know a lot of folks take that into consideration when, you know, choosing new vendors or even maybe enhance the business they have.
Yep. So we broker probably 90% of our loads. Back in the day, you know, we had home nursery semis and all that. And then, you know, changes happen and then it was just easier to broker. So we're brokering majority of the loads. We do currently have 2 of our own semis. Majority of that is being used to haul material back and forth from Tennessee. But occasionally we do, you know, if there's maybe a run to Iowa that we can't, you know, get for the best rate that we want to get, we put it on our truck. So there is that flexibility, which is nice. And then also with racks, so we primarily use CC racks, which is a love-hate relationship, I think, in the industry. So obviously they're super convenient. You know, we push them on the truck and then they land at the customer, they unload them, they're there. They don't necessarily have to unload the plant material at that time. But then sometimes, you know, it takes a little bit for them to get picked up. People you know, you can break them down and store them that way too. So there's pros and cons to it, but that's the rack system that we're primarily sticking with right now. So it's worked out pretty good for us in the past. I would say we've been using it probably 5 years. So
that's good. Yeah, I know. Having the ability to leave the racks is key, because, you know, your end customers, they're going through the same labor shortages and troubles that everyone else is going through. So they can't maybe unload right away because they've got,
right,
you know, they're getting their guy, you know, guys out the door, or, you know, they're helping customers at the front desk. So, I mean, having that
flexibility, yeah, absolutely,
nice, it makes a difference. Yes. You can sell it right off the rack and not have to touch it twice.
Well, and that's, yeah, that's the other thing is, you know, if something comes in and our goal is for it to come in and that way they're not having to, you know, sit on it very long, obviously can turn the product quicker. You know, if it's blooming or budded and covered in butterflies, and then it's literally getting chopped right off the rack. So that's pretty awesome.
On your inventory, you guys do denote, you know, retail ready, bud and bloom and all that. Correct.
Yes. Yep. That's actually what Zach does for us. So he is updating that comment report goes out every single week and it's on our availability. So that's sent out on our, we have a constant contact email. So if you're not on that, you know, we're posting like sales, like, hey, here's the best looking crops right now. But we also have a really awesome website. So we have a live availability on our website that but it also has the comments linked on it. And that's updated like every 5 minutes, every single day. So if you're ever wondering, oh, I wonder how many 5 gallon dense Texas home nursery has right now, you can just hop on our website and look. You do have to create a login to see the pricing, but if you're just needing to know quantity, it's a really awesome tool.
Fantastic. You bring up a good point, technology. We'll touch on that here in a little bit. Since you are, you know, ILL, we have our Hort degrees. Favorite plants around the nursery? What, Mike Mananoff from Mariani did the same. So I'd like to pick your brain. What's your favorite around the nursery? What's looking good right now?
Okay. My favorite plant, are probably going to be a lot of these dwarf paniculatas that either PW or First Editions are coming out with, just because they do stay so small. And I guess we're actually in the process of building our new home. And so I'll get to put in a brand new landscape. So I'm pretty excited about that, you know, to be able to try these things that I'm trying to sell the people, or that our team is trying to sell the people, saying that, you know, they're really awesome. Cause everybody, you know, you don't want to have to prune something. You don't want to have to, put a lot of maintenance into it. And that's what everybody's looking for. So I think these new genetics and material of the semi-dwarf or very dwarf plants are pretty cool. And then as far as what's looking good right now, all of our, ornamental trees look really awesome. We've got a really nice crop of Caryopteris, which I know isn't super hardy, but it would look really awesome in fall containers. Let's see, boxwood. I mean, everything is just really happy this time of year because we're starting to get in some cooler nights. So, you know, anything that's feathered or has new growth is just looking really fresh and clean. So
good. That's good. Folks, keep an eye out on that, especially for the hot picks. I have Quickfire Fab out in my, I redid some plantings at my house as well. So okay, out in the middle of nowhere in the country. So I'll keep PW updated on how that does.
Yeah. I bet they would appreciate that.
Oh yeah. And so you're doing a majority then of the PW line, and then also said, you know, First Edition with Bailey's and any other brands you guys are also working with?
Yeah. So we're a Gold Key grower for PW. So we get all the latest and greatest new PW stuff. And then the same with Bailey. So we're growing, you know, First Editions, Endless Summer. And I'm blanking on the other brands that they're carrying. And then we do a lot of black pot material too. Obviously, you know, we're growing thousands and thousands of Texas and boxwood, and everybody's favorite right now is Green Giant and Emerald Green. So we're doing a lot of that stuff in container. So I think I ran the numbers recently, and, you know, we're still about 60% black pot and 40% branded. So, but, and then we do a large line of perennials too. And majority of that, I would say, is PW.
Okay. Are you guys getting into any of the native side of the perennials, or just keeping it to the more the bread and butter stuff?
Yeah, so we that was something that we dipped into a little bit this year, actually. We're partnering with American Beauties and starting to grow a few of theirs, just trialing, you know, a few different natives to be able to have on our, in our mix. So it's all perennials right now. We're going to probably dip into the shrubs in the future, just being able to offer our products, you know, in that branded pot. And I think it's easier for customers to say, okay, this is native because it's in this pot. You know, that's kind of a, it's a hard market for us in St. Louis, just because I think people are learning and catching on. So if we can make it easier for them, I think they would buy the product more.
Yeah, education's key. It's come up a couple times in our podcast with folks across the country of educating, you know, the end user, the end buyer, you know, right. Hey, what's the purpose in this? You know, what's, why is it going to benefit me? How is it going to look good? I mean, a lot of folks, I mean, they want that pizzazz, but if it also then, you know, provides a nice habitat for pollinators and, you know, right. Everyone can do their do good part of the world, then we're in a better place. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I forgot to mention about our perennial program. What kind of stands us out or, you know, separates us out from everybody else is we are doing our perennials in an 8-inch. So they're a larger, heftier size versus like a trade gallon or a number one is what you're typically seeing perennials grown in. So people like that nicer size for the price point.
Huh. Interesting. I think I ever knew that. So that's good. Good.
Yeah. Job. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. All righty. Let's go back to something that, you know, we talk about a lot here, technology. You guys have an up-to-date website, everything, your inventory is, you know, running on quick. What other technology are you using around the nursery to kind of help out?
Yeah. So I guess kind of technology-based, not really, maybe a little bit. We've got a trimming machine. So that's been pretty awesome. We're running all of our boxwood through that currently. You know, I mentioned website. We've got a new retail tag system within our sales order system. So it actually allows a customer to, if a customer wants to send us their whole list at the beginning of the year saying, here's any retail pricing that I'm going to need for all of 22, they can send us that. We upload it into our system and then it automatically retail prices every single order for you. So you're not getting an email, you know, when you're waiting on your load to go out saying, hey, I need these last two retail prices. It's already done for you, which is amazing. It saves the customer a ton of time and our reps. So that's been a huge thing. And yeah, I would say back to our website, we did the availability that was all new as of 2020, but we also did an online ordering system. That goes back to education too, because, you know, everybody, I think our customers are definitely old school and want to talk to our sales reps, which is great, but we also want the option there. Hey, if you want to pop online and place an order, like that's, you know, there for you to do. So we just need to put that out there to our customers and do a better job of like helping them understand, like, if you want to place an order on a Sunday night at midnight, you can, but you know, your rep's still going to be in contact with you, to make sure everything is solidified. Okay. So,
yeah,
so that's pretty cool.
We see the same at Landscape Hub, you know, have people hopping on, they get busy during the day. They're not able to place that order. They go, you know, go home at night, pop a cold beverage, sit in the patio, like, oh, I got to order this real quick. And all of a sudden, the orders start to come through. So
yeah. So you're not having to do that first thing on a Monday morning, you know, and you're in the inventory is secured that way in case it's something that you really, really have to have.
Yeah. And I mean, it's, we're, since we started in 17, we've seen that trend just keep increasing. And we've seen other nurseries invest in their own websites and it's good. I mean, it's all trending towards the right direction. So mm-hmm. having that technology, sure. It's huge. Well, and then, you know, younger generations like us, we're used to it. You know, we get groceries delivered to our front door,
right?
Yep. from a quick couple orders. So
yes.
Speaking of, you know, younger generations, we do a little segment on here. Of course, my co-host Will Haverkamp's not on; he's out today. But we like to shake up the crystal ball. We ask the nurseries that we do the podcast with what their take is on, you know, their nursery the next 5 to 10 years, and then also the industry. You guys are very involved in IGIA. ILCA, which is great. So you're mm-hmm. definitely out there. You're working with your local state organizations. So you have, you know, a pretty good view. But we always just like to kind of hear what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I mean, I think as far as the industry goes, you know, labor is not going to become any easier. So we're going to have to get creative on how to, you know, we're utilizing H2A, but H2A aren't going to be able to manage and run the company. You know, they're awesome for the labor aspect of it. So we need to get creative of how we're going to attract the, you know, next generation of people to be able to come in and be the sales manager or inventory or whatever the case may be. So, you know, I don't know how we're going to do that, but you know, it's like I think we just have to be more involved, like at the high school level, because at when you go to the universities or the, you know, junior colleges and things like that, it's almost too late because I think, you know, a lot of times their mind's made up or they know what they're doing after college, that sort of thing. So, we talked a little bit before, but, you know, FFA was a huge part of my high school career. So I think, you know, that's an awesome program that our industry really needs to sponsor and be supporters of because those kids are the ones that'll be, you know, next in line for our industry for sure.
Agreed. Yeah, FFA is a great program. I went through it as well. I know a lot of other people that, yeah, U of I folks like ourselves went through it, and it's and they're doing a good job staying current with, you know, how generations are changing. And so anyone out there listening that's an FFA member or anything, please reach out to either one of us. We're always down to help our local FFA organization. So
Yeah, absolutely.
what they do is fantastic. And it was always held at U of I, so that made it that much better. So,
Yeah, for sure.
but awesome. So what's your take on home nursery then, the next, you know, as things evolve? I know there's, you know, a lot of folks that I talk to, you know, the IGCs, they don't have as, you know, many like their succession plans are a little bit different. Maybe they, you know, their next generations aren't wanting to come in. Maybe they saw what their parents went through the, you know, the Great Recession way back when. I mean, we were in college, but, you know, going through, you know, what's your thought on the retail IGC market? You know, we saw a big boom with COVID. You know, everyone's stuck at home putting money back in, but they're going through their own challenges. What's your thoughts on them?
Yeah, I mean, we have seen even in the St. Louis market, we lost a big customer that was an IGC, you know, that sold out, maybe because the succession plan wasn't there. And like you said, it is hard, you know, the next generation's like, I'm not doing that. I'm not working, you know, 80 hours a week in the spring. And so, you know, that makes us a little bit uneasy because that is a big part of our business. And we have geared a lot of our inventory as far as growing branded material. And you know, perennials and things like that. Obviously, we haven't gotten away from what we do best is Texas boxwood, you know, these spreading juniper stuff like that. But you know, our mix has definitely evolved over the past 10, 20 years. So you know, that's a little bit, I guess, up in question. But just making sure that we can still partner with those people and make their lives and jobs as easy as possible. We have started doing a lot more rack programs. So basically, we provide the POP. So it's maybe a bench card or bench tape or like a 2x3 poster. And that actually comes on a rack of material. So when it lands at your garden center, you're literally rolling it off, taking it to the bench and putting it, you know, on. It's a no-brainer thought process. And a lot of our IGCs really love that just because, like you said, labor is a huge problem. And they have, you know, maybe high schoolers out in the garden center in the summer watering, and you know, they don't know how to set up a display or things like that. So that's been a huge thing that we're just kind of trying, you know, how can we make these people's lives easier with things like that. So, and we've also, you know, we're trying to partner with re-wholesalers as well. Just because, you know, the business, re-wholesalers business is steady throughout this fall as well, just because there are supply and landscapers.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see what that brings, but hopefully, you know, we love our independent garden centers, so hopefully they'll be chugging along.
Yeah, no, it is nice. I mean, prime example, you know, Winding Creek, you know, the service they provide, the atmosphere, it's awesome. You can't
Yeah.
beat it, especially when it's
Right.
family run, and you can tell that in your dealings with them. So whatever
Yeah.
we can do to help you guys support that, please let us know, because we don't
Yeah.
want to see that go away at all. So
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, anything else you have for the listeners out there? Any questions for Landscape Hub? We had someone kind of interview us a little bit too on this. So.
Really? Put you on the spot?
Yeah.
I guess
it was a good question.
Yeah. So, that's good. So what do you guys see as far as, you know, you deal with a lot of home nurseries. So what do you see as maybe challenges in the next 5 years as far as like, I mean, not just IGCs are going out of business, but the home nurseries are going out of business, you know, because again, it's a lot of work, you know, it's hard to, nobody wants to grow a 7-year crop of taxus because there's not great, you know, ROI in it. And, but like, you know, so those suppliers are going more and more. So are you seeing a challenge there with that?
Yeah, we're seeing a lot more consolidation. You know, it's very similar to the IGC market. Succession plans aren't there. You know, the kids are tired of watching their parents go through it, the ups and downs. They're going into technology. They're going into something completely different. We're seeing consolidation. But then the bright side of that, though, is some of the other nurseries do have a great succession plan, and the kids are starting to become more involved and working their way up through the ranks. I'm even seeing in McMinnville, a couple young nursery growers there. You know, I'll just, you know, call them out. They're more on the B&B side. But, you know, Farron Green, they've, you know, their son's starting to stop up Austin. He's great. I deal with him. Keith Youngblood, 2 Youngblood Farms, they're great. And that's in an area historically that sometimes the kids don't take into the next succession plan, and they get gobbled up by some big conglomerate or something, or they go into row crop. I mean, it just depends. So we are seeing a little bit of a consolidation, and kind of, I think what has sparked that is folks been able to go through their inventory. They're able to recoup some of that great recession money they sunk back into it to keep the business afloat. And some of the others just want to go, I'm done. You know, I had my run, I had fun. I'm still friends with all these people, but you know, if I can get my money back out of the land and sail off into the sunset, I'll take it. So, which that's just causing, you know, tighter demand, tighter plant demand. It's kind of, you know, tweaking some of the logistics lanes. So it's tough, but there is a glimmer. There are some younger generations are stepping up and taking over because they love it. I mean, and that's awesome to see. So.
Yeah. Well, and kind of what we've seen even with IGCs and, you know, other growers is like, if you made it through COVID, you know, like you're pretty set because you either succeeded or like, you know, in the beginning, it was like people didn't know, like you were having to shut your doors if you weren't able to sell in the spring, you know. So, so that's, I guess, good and bad of the outcome of COVID. So,
yeah, I think, With a lot of majority of the states deeming agriculture, or at least, you know, landscaping essential. I know Michigan, they got kind of the short end of the stick there. They lost out on a good chunk of spring, which they needed. But I think it kind of showed, hey, yeah, I 100% agree with you. If we made it through this and we go through, you know, another pandemic, I hope we never do, but as much as I'd say it's kind of inevitable with the way the world is, you can kind of plan a little bit better and accordingly. And I think even folks with, you know, the rumbles of recession in the media and all that jazz, I think whoever survived, you know, what happened, you know, 08 through 11 are going to, you know, going to have a little bit better standing. So
for sure. Cool.
Great question. I like that.
Yeah,
I like
thanks.
I get asked those a lot, and it's nice to kind of help give my perspective, especially I've been across the country. So got any more good questions?
I think that's pretty well it. I was just going to mention that if there's anybody listening, you know, that's not in the St. Louis area or, you know, within driving distance, we'd love to have you down to our farm. Fall's a great time to visit. So, you know, reach out to me and we can definitely get that coordinated. And you just got to get there before the end of October, because that's when we start covering our houses. So it's definitely a lot better to look at stuff when it's not covered. So
T-minus what, 6 weeks, something?
Yeah, that's right. I know, it's crazy.
Awesome. Well, Hillary, thank you for chatting today. Folks, you can check out their inventory on Landscape Hub or direct. Either way, they're awesome to work with. You know, if you're already on Landscape Hub, go ahead and add those items to cart. They're awesome on their photo requests as well. And we look to kind of, you know, grow with you guys. So, you know, as you guys continue on, we look to continue on.
Cool. All right. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate you having us on.
Oh yeah, it was great to chat. Maybe we'll do episode 2, maybe for those Illini fans out there. I think we need to get, like, you know, at the next ILCA outing, we've kicked it around of, you know, from the field after hours, you know, everyone sits around and the bar and talks about their experiences. Who knows? Maybe it sparks up, a next generation of folks to come in and help us out. So
yeah, absolutely. That'd be great.
Awesome. Well, Hillary, happy Friday. Enjoy the day, and folks, check them out. And thanks for tuning in.
Okay. Thank you.